Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of The Fumble. Well, I say it's The Fumble podcast. I mean, usually we talk about American football because that's why we're here. We talk about everything that's going on in the NFL. We get Darren Fletcher's opinions. We get my opinion as well. But this is the second episode of this season and we're about to kick into week three. But this episode's going to be different because it's time to welcome onto The Fumble podcast Judith Fletcher Chalmers. The air miles, Darren, are through the roof. What a trip. It looked amazing.
Well, it was. And you were missed. You were missed hugely. I have to say that. Yeah, it was tremendous. I mean, the Ben and the team at Elite Sports Travel pulled it off again. Magnificent. We landed in Kansas City. The first game we went to was the Chiefs and the Lions. I mean, Arrowhead is just phenomenal, really. I mean, you get to different stadiums and they're all unique in their own way. And the size of the car park and the size of the tailgate in Arrowhead absolutely takes your breath away. I think you could probably go there and you wouldn't actually have to go in because you'd have so much fun in the car park that you'd be okay if you just watched it on a screen on the back of the truck or whatever you want to do. So that was sensational. We then flew to Chicago and did a bit of a double header. We did Wrigley Field on the Saturday. We did the tour of Wrigley Field first, and then we saw a game against the Diamondbacks, which was great. All the history in there. And then went to see the Bears and the Packers on Sunday, which was a great atmosphere for about three plays. And then the whole of Chicago realized what this season's going to be like. And there were boos early and questions, and everybody was fed up, and the Packer fans were making a noise, and the Bears fans weren't. So that was not good for me as a Bears fan. We then flew to New York, and this was where it got really mad, because on the way to New York, I've never experienced this before. My phone started making this ridiculous alarm beep, really loud, really loud. And I thought, what's this? And on the screen was a yellow warning from the weather people in the US to say, don't go anywhere near the stadium unless you have to, because there's a terrible storm coming. And if you're going to the stadium, shelter until it passes. So we were en route at the time, and there's a shopping mall right next to the stadium. So we went in there for a bit of dinner to relax, completely missed the storm. By the time we came out, it had gone. We get into the stadium and take our seats and see Aaron Rodgers on the field for 75 seconds, four plays. But of course, a lot of people other than me have all received the same alert. So we're actually late arriving to the stadium. So there were families coming in, all bedecked in Rodgers jerseys, mum, dad, kids, after the play where the Achilles tendon had been snapped, and had no idea what had happened because they'd been walking from the car park into the stadium. So by the time they got in there, they were all really excited to see Aaron Rodgers, only to find out that the season was already over. The number 8 shirt is a completely useless item because he's not actually going to be on the field. And there was this bizarre letdown of the atmosphere in the stadium. The crazy thing was, though, as they started to be more and more competitive, it built to a ferocious noise. And people around me were saying they'd never heard MetLife Stadium like it when they got behind the team at the end. And of course, one of the stars of Hard Knocks, takes the punt back for the touchdown in overtime. There was a fight behind us in the stand between Bills fans and Jets fans. It was crackers. It was like being at the football in the 80s. It was mad. But it really was a fantastic, fantastic trip and thoroughly enjoyable. And it was just great to be at those three games right at the start of the season. And we've already got the date tentatively penciled for next year. So I need to let you know about this because I've not told you this. I was saving this till today. So we're going to do international break in November next year. So get that in the diary. International break in November. We're going to take a look at somewhere that's warm because everybody's freezing cold by then. And international break in November, we will be off on a jaunt, probably to the West Coast. That would be the safest bet. We might do the Dallas Cowboys because we've not done that yet. So these are the tentative plans. But I mean, it was absolutely sensational. Great time had by all and brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Let me ask you this, Darren. It's an obvious question, but it's one that I think British American football fans would love to know the answer to. We went to MetLife Stadium. We've been a few times for both Super Bowls and for Giants games. Is there a significant difference between the MetLife setup for Giants, MetLife setup for Jets?
Well, I'll tell you what was astonishing. Sunday night football was Giants-Cowboys. Monday night football is Jets-Bills. So they've got to change everything about the stadium. All the blue lights became green lights. All the advertising became Jets stuff instead of Giants. The club shop was completely turned over. The field, of course, had to be redecorated with Jets logos, etc. So there's a huge, huge, huge task that gets undertaken by everybody there. Do you know what? I almost felt like when I was in there, it was more raw for the Jets. That they're the
underdog. The Jets are New Jersey, aren't they?
Well, no, I mean, not really, because they were kind of at Shea Stadium, both of them, with the Polo Grounds and Shea, so both of them kind of moved to New Jersey. But I think it's that underdog mentality. You know, the Giants have won Super Bowls under Bill Parcells and Tom Coughlin between the Jets and Joe Namath and where they are now. So I think they've got this almost like nobody likes us, we don't care attitude as a Jets fan. And it just felt more blue collar. It felt more like an English football crowd for a Jets game. And it felt a bit more commercial and a bit more stick your nose in the air for the Giants games. So it was a different experience, really, real different experience. And there was also the relief, I think, to be a Jets fan now, thinking that you might actually be relevant for the first time in a long time. Obviously, the Rodgers thing has knocked that slightly. But I think they're quite optimistic that with the roster they've got, if they can get Rodgers back next year, they can potentially push for a Super Bowl. And of course, the big thing for them from an American football perspective, from a team-building perspective, had Rodgers played 65% of snaps this season, they would have had to give the Green Bay Packers their first-round pick next year. Now he's injured for the year, they give the Green Bay Packers their second-round pick. So if they need to draft a left tackle, which it looks as though they probably do based on the lack of protection for Rodgers when he was injured, they could go into next season with a fully healed Rodgers, a better left tackle, and all of those young weapons ready to go. So I think they're trying to turn a negative into a positive, but the feeling in there is different. It's kind of like, you know, we're the upstarts and we're going to show you and we're going to have a sing-song and we're going to drink a load of beer. The crazy thing was they stopped serving Bud Light at halftime.
Oh!
Which I've never experienced before.
Usually it's the back end of the third quarter.
Right. Now, I wonder whether that tells you what they get like by the back end of the third quarter. So that might answer the question. No beer after halftime. That's it. Can't get a drink after
halftime. That's amazing. All right. Well, yeah. Let me ask you this, Darren. Seeing as you've been there, you've witnessed it, you've experienced it. And one thing that we like to do, both you and I, when we're on these trips, is we like to talk to the locals. We like to put on our finest English accents. And make a point, hello, we're watching American football. You know, this is a derivative of rugby. We basically invented everything we even invented the language you speak, darling. However, tell me this. Did you dive into a conversation about two real pivotal elements of the New York Jets algorithm for this season? Firstly, Coach Salah, because I'm hearing things about Coach Salah from people inside the NFL. And secondly, now that Aaron Rodgers is out, is Zach Wilson the guy?
I'll take the second question first. I suspected that he... Let's get the cards on the table. At the moment, he's the only option. because there is this kind of fantasy idea that Tom Brady's going to pull on a number 12 Jets jersey and he's going to lead him to a Super Bowl this season while Aaron Rodgers is injured.
Right. And let me caveat that with, I'm saying it and I'm asking it because the stuff that we've been reading subsequently, as soon as the Achilles went, nobody mentioned last season starting quarterback who's still on the roster, Zach Wilson. So disrespectful. Yeah. It groaned my gears and it boiled, as they say, it boiled me piss.
Yeah, there was a reason for that. And that was that the one problem the Jets have is turnovers. And the one thing Zach Wilson can't stop doing is turning the ball over. And I'm afraid we saw that week two against Dallas. Now, albeit that's against an elite NFL defense, but if you want to win a Super Bowl or go deep into the playoffs, the bad news is that's the kind of defense you're going to play against. So all of a sudden on Tuesday morning, get up, all the other stuff, first take, it was all a list of potential replacements for Rodgers. It was Tom Brady. It was Philip Rivers. It was anybody that can throw a ball who's not called Zach Wilson. It was trading for Kirk Cousins. It was all this kind of stuff. And the reality is that they have no alternative because these alternatives don't exist. So I think they're going to have to go with Zach Wilson or whoever else they've got on the roster the rest of the way. Whether he's the right quarterback, I would say no. I mean, against Buffalo, it was all about Breece Hall and all about Dalvin Cook and all about the great special teams play. And then when they went to Dallas, they completed the 168-yarder down the field to Garrett Wilson on what was pretty much a broken play. The safety should make the tackle. But in terms of running the ball, the Cowboys just stacked the box and said, well, if we take Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall away, what are you going to do now? And the answer was not very much. So I think the likelihood is that the Jets are going to be 7-9, or 7-10 because they've got the extra game now. That kind of record, because he's just not going to be good enough in terms of what he can do to win games for them. I think he can manage them and the defense is great. But when you play the better teams, and don't forget, they've got to play the Dolphins twice. They've got to play the Bills again. They're in the AFC. They've got a difficult record. If you look at the games they've got coming up, you can make a case that they're going to have a losing record after seven games. What that might mean, though, Vern, looking to next year, and of course all eyes are on that now, they're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. Zach Wilson is not going to win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl in a conference that includes Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Lamar Jackson, etc. That's not happening. Joe Burrow, it's just not. But I think what they're looking at now is if they get a relatively okay draft pick next year and fill that real area of need, which is left tackle, they could actually go into next year in a better position than they are this year. And then they can really have the Super Bowl push because, of course, they get another wave of free agency as well. So it's not all doom and gloom. It is for this year. But I think this year might make them even stronger next year. And that's the hope. With regard to Coach Salah, the consensus is, Vern, if you've got a young quarterback and you've got a defensive-minded head coach, that's the wrong combination. We're seeing it again with Justin Fields in Chicago. Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator, becomes a head coach. He's regressed since he's come out of college. And this is the problem for lots of them. Mac Jones, the same, hasn't really progressed. Bill Belichick, last season, his offensive coordinator was a defensive guy. So I kind of look at that and say, Salah gets away with it with Rodgers because you just leave it to Nathaniel Hackett. But I think there is this growing theory around the NFL that if you draft a young quarterback early, you have to pair him with a sharp offensive mind if they're going to develop. And I think if you go kind of through the success and failure stories of quarterbacks being drafted, to a large extent, that carries through. So
I totally agree, Darren, because since Tom Brady retired, you'll notice that he started doing that thing that all great sports people do, is push the brand.
Yes.
You know, they're no longer playing. They can no longer advertise themselves on a football field, on the gridiron, on the baseball diamond or wherever. So they concentrate on the brand. And Brady's brand is winning. And I've seen a few things now where he's come out and spoken about his mentality and his winning attitude towards kickoff in any game. And I've seen the most recent one I've seen is that what he would do, he would find something, he would pick something out of the media that had been reported that allowed him to hate, despise and get angry about the other team, which is all well and good because the quarterback is only one of 11 players on the field. But like you say, you need an offensive-minded head coach. Bill Belichick, however, was probably one of the greatest defensive-minded people ever, but he had a great umbrella of coaches that really looked after Brady and everything that they did. And the point that I'm getting at is, if you look at all those quarterbacks that are successful, they do have that in them. They do have an offensive-minded, great quarterback coach, great OC, but a head coach who lets the offense play. And I think it's really difficult for quarterbacks these days. Prime example, what if the Chicago Bears had taken Patrick Mahomes? Would Patrick Mahomes today be the same Patrick Mahomes that he... Would Patrick Mahomes then be the same Patrick Mahomes that he is today if he'd have been taken first round by the Chicago Bears? You need that structure around you. You need that team. And, you know, Brady is now the blueprint for the ultimate quarterback, in my opinion. And he had that.
Yeah. With regard to the Holmes and the Bears,
It's a good question, though, isn't it, Darren? Because he came out against the Bears, counted on his fingers. He counted to 10, saying,
He plays Chicago this week, doesn't he? So the week they've had, which we'll talk about in a minute, which is one of the most bizarre weeks I can ever remember any NFL franchise having in 30 years. And they play Mahomes this weekend. I mean, the thing with Mahomes, if you remember back when the Bears drafted Trubisky, who they chose over Patrick Mahomes. For a start, they chose a quarterback with nowhere near the skill set of the one they could have had. And don't forget, they passed over Deshaun Watson in the same draft. So there were three to take, and they took the worst one with the highest pick.
Who'd only played a year of college football.
Yeah, they had Matt Nagy at the time, an offensive-minded coach, but I don't think even he could get anything out of Mitchell Trubisky on a consistent basis. Nagy, bizarrely now, is the offensive coordinator calling the plays in Kansas City for Patrick Mahomes. And there is a theory, just a little theory in the NFL, that Mahomes has maybe regressed ever so slightly under Matt Nagy, so that maybe answers your question a little bit more. So, yeah, I think there's a bit of hope in Chicago that they're that bad this year. They get Caleb Williams in the draft, and they take the Lions offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, as the new head coach. And for the first time since the 85 mob, they've got a team eventually that can compete. But I've got to stick that one on your toes this week. So this week, Chicago 0-2. Our team, 0-2. They have a press conference where they ask Justin Fields what's wrong with him. And he says coaching, which is not great if you're a coach, which he has to go back to later and address again. On the same day, the defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, resigns, citing ill health, having missed the previous game, citing ill health. At the same time, there are stories in the US that Charles Tillman, the former Bears cornerback, who is now an FBI agent, by the way, has tipped somebody off that Hallis Hall has been raided by the FBI in connection with Alan Williams. The Bears say this is categorically not true. They reiterate that Williams is resigning, but they don't say anything about him as a person. So whenever anybody's gone in the past, whenever they've sacked head coaches or whatever, they say, you know, thanks for everything they've done and X, Y, and Z, even if they've been awful. The statement simply read, Alan Williams has resigned as the defensive coordinator. So people are now going, well, why have they not said anything nice about him? Why are these rumours of the FBI kicking about all over the place? Why has he just disappeared off the face of the earth? So you've got the quarterback questioning the coaching, then kind of walking back on it. You've got the defensive coordinator off. You've got a team that's 0-2. You've got the second biggest market in the whole of the United States in Chicago. And you've got this malaise that set in after two games. The worst team in the league last season that was supposed to be so much better. This might be the biggest shambles that I've ever seen in the National Football League. And Vernon, it's happening to our team, my friend. It's happening to our Chicago Bears.
Darren, not only that, so let's take everything that you've just said, right? And then let's add this into the mix. So allegedly we've got the FBI involved.
Yep.
Right? The coach says, it's not for me. The team said it's ill health. Next minute, the stadium gets raided.
Yep.
Someone dives in there with a van, fills it up with allegedly $100,000 worth of kit, and drives off. Now, this stinks of Watergate.
I mean, what is happening? What is happening?
Who can drive into an NFL facility, load up a van with 100 grand's worth of gear, allegedly, and drive off?
I know.
Now, you're not telling me there's a cheeky hard drive in that 100 grand's worth of gear. Come on.
Right. That's a very good point, by the way. I've not
Come
thought
on.
About that.
Come
Detective
on.
K. I've not thought about that. Hey, by the way, as well, just on that, at 6:30 in the morning when I was there, I woke up really early, jet lag, and I looked out the window. From my hotel room, I could see Soldier Field in the distance.
Beautiful picture you posted on your socials.
Yeah. So I got up that morning when it was dark and I walked along Lake Michigan and watched the sunrise come up. And it was one of those moments, you know, when you're away on holiday, and we've all done it, you just have this little thing in your mind. When I get tired during the course of the year or things start to go wrong, remember this moment because it's really special and this is what we do everything for. It was great. So I walked all the way down to Soldier Field and I thought, I'll have a little look around, have a little nosy, you know, see if I can get in and all that, gather nosy around. But you can't actually get in. You walk around it. You can actually go into the underground car park. So you can go in there, but you can't get into the stadium itself. So I had a bit of a poke around to see if I could get in and have a look at it. But there is only one way in. So there's a big entrance with gates and a wall. And when I saw it, security on the gate. That's the only way in. Everywhere else is shuttered off. So it's not as if you could just walk in and find all the gear. So somebody must have gone in through the front entrance to get this stuff. Because that's the only way in. I walked the entire perimeter. And it's raised up above ground level. So you can't actually walk in. You've got to go up ramps and what have you to get in. So, and they're all shuttered. Everything's shuttered. So you can't get, it's not as if they've got open corners or anything like that. It's completely enclosed. The only way in are through the shutters. Now, unless you know the shutter's open and you know where the shutter is, you wouldn't even think to go there. So you presumably you've got to go through the front door. So it makes it even more mysterious, having been at the stadium and had a look at it, to work out how the hell you get in to do it, where you find this stuff. Because it's actually in the middle of a park, Soldier Field. It's in the middle of a public park on the banks of Lake Michigan. So it's not even as if it's like going to an English football ground. I mean, it's just mad. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing around it. You don't leave gear outside. It's all inside. It's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. I can't wait for the conspiracy theories to come out after this one, because it's all there. The equation is built. The algorithm is ready to go. The AI is absolutely spinny rainbow wheel right now. It's going, what on earth is going on in Chicago? All right, well, let's leave that behind. Hopefully next year we can get back on the trip. It sounds absolutely awesome. Elite Sports Travel, give them a Google. Get on their website. Have a look. Have a mooch around. I think Neil Reynolds has got a trip coming up. They're going to do the international games both here and abroad. If American football, if any sport is your bag, then check them out, because we've said numerous times, they are so good. They think of your every need, your every want, your every requirement. All you've got to do is pack the spending money pretty much and enjoy it.
And an example of that, Vern, is that we were all booked on the same British Airways flight back, which inexplicably was cancelled without warning. So every single one of us on the trip was stranded. And they made sure they got everybody home, albeit on separate flights. Everybody was on a separate flight, but everybody got home on the night they were supposed to be home. So that they proved once again that when things go wrong, they know how to deal with it. You can relax and enjoy yourself, and you've not got to worry about much at all. So fantastic.
Yeah, they're very, very good. All right, let's take we've not got long, but let's take a quick look at the season so far. We're two games in. The third one is approaching. In fact, the San Francisco 49ers put another victory on the board on Thursday night. Another strong performance from them. Surely people will be saying that they are Super Bowl contenders. But Darren, there's a bunch of teams who are undefeated, one of which we've got to talk about them because they're my punt for the Super Bowl. And I think the Dallas Cowboys are doing everything right at the moment. The defense is playing really strong football. The front seven is absolutely awesome. Micah Parsons is playing out of his mind. It's putting the offense on the field. And we've spoken in the past that we don't really believe that Dak Prescott has got what it takes. We've always said that he's a little off target when it comes to the passing. Pollard has taken over the running game now that Ezekiel Elliott is over in New England. So, Darren, I'm going to ask you, it's a big question. We kind of giggled when I said the Cowboys, but from what you've seen so far, what do you reckon?
Well, I think it's interesting because you were quite quick there in that little statement to get in my punt for the Super Bowl. At the same time, my friend, I will point out that the San Francisco 49ers are also undefeated and are my NFC team for the Super Bowl. And I've got good news for you and I've got bad news for you. The good news is I think Dallas look great, but I think losing Trayvon Diggs is huge for them. A cornerback who, yes, makes mistakes and can be beaten, but he gives that defense turnovers, and that's what it's set out to achieve. It's designed to get the ball off the opposition one way or the other. And he, I think, is the best corner in the league at doing that. I'm not saying he's the best corner in the league because he's not. He's the best corner in the league at getting interceptions and forcing turnovers. So he's out for the season with an ACL, so that's big. I'm still to be convinced I can carry the ball enough to be the out-and-out number one back and move the chains as he needs to. Deuce Vaughn, I think, is a key player for Dallas because he's got to come on the field when they take Pollard out to make sure he doesn't get injured, and he's got to be able to run the ball in the way that Zeke Elliott did last year. A lot of positives. The defense looks outstanding. I just don't know, in NFC terms, whether they're quite as good as San Francisco. I think there's a fair chance that they go past Philadelphia this year, although Jalen Hurts has looked magnificent so far. There's a chance I think they could win their division, but I don't quite know whether they get past the 49ers. So I think at the minute, the cream's already risen to the top. I think it's a three-way fight in the NFC between Dallas, Philly, and the 49ers. And I think there are some good teams. I think the NFC looks stronger than last year overall. But I think you're kind of down to those three. And I think it might come down to which one has home field advantage come playoff time. If you've got to go and play the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, I think it makes them big favourites. And likewise, if it's anywhere else. But I think you've called it well. I think Dallas are one of the teams that have made the leap. But I just think this Diggs injury is massive, massive for them. It really is. If you took away key players from those other teams that we've spoken about, you know, if the 49ers lose Nick Bosa or if Philly lose one of their key defensive guys, it's difficult. But I think for Diggs to be gone for Dallas at this early stage, that gives them a problem. But, I mean, Dak's done everything that Dak needs to do. There's a lovely balance about them at the moment. And I'd love it, you know. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan, but I think the Dallas Cowboys in Las Vegas is the absolute perfect storm for the NFL. I mean, that's who you want. If you could pick any team to be in Vegas, you'd pick the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I think people in the NFL office in New York are rooting for those Cowboys as well, whether they'd admit it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Jerry's clock is ticking. The big man soon to be a call-in upstairs. So, Jerry in Vegas with the Cowboys, that'll be a sight for sore eyes. Now, let me ask you this. Okay, we've done the NFC. Darren, I want your opinion on this one. We've talked about Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills are struggling a little bit. The Miami Dolphins look like a real explosive offense. Is this the year where the Miami Dolphins rise above the cream that is Kansas City and Buffalo? Oh, it's a deep breath from the Fletcher. A deep breath from the Fletcher. I like this because, ladies and gentlemen, everyone who's listening, this means that the cogs in Darren's brain between his ears are really grinding. So when Darren starts thinking about something, you better sit yourself down, get ready and prepare yourself for what is coming, a statement.
Right. Now, look, I would have said...
I know you so well, Darren, right? Your face has gone into that kind of face when someone farts in a lift. Right, it's gone into that serious. Are you kidding me? Fair. Let me set my stall out, Darren. Let me set my stall out. I've not even mentioned the Bengals and the Ravens because I personally don't think that they're in the mix. I don't think they're good enough to match the Bills and the Chiefs. But what I'm saying is, I believe after watching two games with the Dolphins that they've got something quite explosive that can turn a page on any game in the NFL.
It's funny that you mentioned the fart and the lift. Because Tua Tagovailoa is so fragile that one single fart in a lift could put him on IR. That's how fragile he is. And that is the big worry for me.
Is that why your face changed, Darren? QB?
If he plays 17 games and he's healthy going into the playoffs, they've got as good a chance as any team in the National Football League of playing in Vegas. Because they've got everything. You know, they've got weapons everywhere. The offense is stacked. And I mean stacked. I mean, they've got two number one receivers in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. They've got running backs. I mean, they've turned Raheem Mostert into a sensational back. I mean, he's a game-breaking back. They've got a decent offensive line. And Tua, when he's healthy, is the perfect quarterback to run that offense. They took Bradley Chubb in a trade last season so they can rush the passer. They've got pieces on defense. The secondary is okay. I think it's a really good roster. The coach is fantastic.
Mike I like McDaniel. Him. I do. Him.
And of course, let's not forget they put Vic Fangio in as the defensive coordinator, arguably the best defensive mind in the game, not called Bill Belichick. So that's a big upgrade on the defense. But I think this is all dictated by the health of Tua. I think if Tua plays a season and Tua's healthy, then they are legitimate. But if you take him out, then there's no way that they can compete with the rest. I still think the Chiefs are the team in the AFC because they're not healthy yet. The wide receivers have been struggling, but that won't be the case. But they've got Patrick Mahomes. And I would say to anybody, he's the only guy in the league. It used to be the same with Brady. Even when Brady played Peyton Manning, you'd say, I'd take Brady. You'd take Brady against anybody on the planet at any given time. And I think you'd do the same with Mahomes. If I said to you, look, Tua's got to go into Arrowhead and beat Mahomes in there, can he do it? You'd say probably not. But if I said Mahomes is going to go into Miami, can he beat Tua? You'd say, of course he can. So I think Tua's got to be healthy. They've got all the weapons. Who beats Mahomes when it really matters? Because one thing we know is, if he's healthy, they're in the playoffs. You know that they're going to be in. I just don't know whether Tua's going to get through a season with the concussion problems he's got and the fact that he's been fragile at Alabama, fragile in the NFL. I don't know if I'd be brave enough to say they're my AFC team because I know how vulnerable he is. And people could say, well, anybody could get injured. Yeah, they can, but he's more likely to get injured than most because he does every year. So what they are is, if they're ever on the telly, you make sure you watch him because I think they're the most exciting team to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's not forget, they're one of the stalwart teams for the UK fan base, you know, because back in the day with Dan Marino and the kind of early to mid Dolphins era, that was the only one that we knew about in the UK. That may be at a sniff, a sprinkle of the 49ers and definitely the Chicago Bears because of 85. But the Miami Dolphins were one of the foundation teams of the fan base within the UK. Right, let's put that to one side. One last question, Darren. One last question. And this is about the evolution of the game. You're going to like this one. We've seen the umming and ahhing of various trades for various running backs in the NFL. Running backs now aren't treated like the prime addition to a roster they were in the past. Do you think they still hold that value today that they did in the past, given that rosters are interchanging more regular at that running back position than ever before?
No, I don't think so. And I think you'll get that question answered to a large part in Cleveland because they've just lost Nick Chubb for the year. Nick Chubb might never be the same running back again because he suffered two horrific injuries.
Hideous injury.
Same time. Yeah,
hideous. I knew it was bad because the commentary team, someone sent me a clip saying the commentary team won't even show it. And then I accidentally stumbled across it on social and it's horrific.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll play again.
But what they've done is they've gone and signed Kareem Hunt off the street. Now, if Kareem Hunt comes in and gets anywhere near the production of Nick Chubb, that's another problem for anybody who's an NFL running back. So I think, look, there are elite players at every position. And I think there will always be two or three out of the 32 rosters where you've got world-class running backs. But I still don't think you necessarily want to pay them because you can never tell now when they're going to drop off a cliff. I mean, you think about the running backs that we used to watch. So when we first got into this game, you'd see Walter Payton lead the league in rushing. You'd see Marcus Allen lead the league in rushing. You'd see Joe Morris have a great year for the Giants. You'd see John Riggins and the Redskins, Tony Dorsett. Later on, you'd see Emmitt Smith, Thurman Thomas. But they played 16 games every year. They played double-digit years in the league. If you look at the list of all-time leading rushers, they're all on it. Running backs seemed to last better back then. They seemed to be able to avoid that drop off a cliff after 6 or 7 years that we see now. Whether that's because the defensive players weren't as fast and weren't as big and weren't as strong, so the pounding wasn't quite the same, I don't know. Maybe they were built slightly differently too. Maybe they weren't quite fast twitch and all that. Maybe they were more rugged and more robust. But I just don't think you can take a gamble. I mean, look at the Giants. Saquon Barkley held out over the course of the summer. He wanted a big salary. They ended up giving him the franchise tag, and now he's got a high ankle sprain after a couple of games. And he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks, and they're going to have to try and find someone to run the ball. I just don't think running the ball until you get to the playoffs is as important as it used to be. I think the one exception this year is going to be the Jets, because Zach Wilson can't play quarterback to the standard that they need. So they've got Delvin Cook and Breece Hall, which
Hang on. Let me just... sorry to interrupt, Darren, which I don't like doing, but what about Christian McCaffrey at San Francisco? Is he not the reason, or one of the reasons, why Brock Purdy has become a name? Because they've got that weapon in their artillery, which takes a little bit of pressure off Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And as I said at the start, there are always going to be two or three that you just have to have because they're just so good. But McCaffrey is also the best receiver on that team, as well as the best running back on that team.
Very true.
And the way Kyle Shanahan's offense works, Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey do pretty much the same job. Maybe Debo catches a few more balls than McCaffrey, and McCaffrey carries it a few more times than Debo. But they've got players in that offense. Brandon Ayuk is the same, who can all carry it, who can all catch it.
So I think Darren, let me tell you this. When we were in San Francisco preseason, me and the gang, Tess and the kids, we went watching the 49ers training camp. Debo Samuel, I've never seen a specimen like it. Yeah. I mean, we all admire DK Metcalf in the NFL for being an absolute monster. But Debo Samuel, he looked a little bit leaner. Not a lot, a little bit leaner than DK. But boy, can he run.
Yeah.
I was so impressed. So impressed.
Yeah. He had a great Thursday night as well, didn't he? I didn't play. He was outstanding. Couple of touchdowns. But I think as well, you look, your running game now is a complementary piece to your passing game. And way back when, The passing game is a complementary piece to your running game. I mean, the way that these offenses scheme these days is completely different. So you can pick a guy up in the fifth round, the sixth round, undrafted guys can come in and give you what you need from the running back position on a minimum salary, which means you can spend your money elsewhere. And I think the problem you've got now is, if you're the Giants, and they're the prime example, if you've decided to give the long-term contract to Daniel Jones, you can't also give the long-term contract to Saquon Barkley, because you've got no money to pay anybody else. So in the salary cap era, you've got to pick your poison. Teams are always going to pick the quarterback. I mean, you look at Kansas City, look at their running backs, Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon. I mean, they're never going to pay any of them.
They're going to pay
Patrick Mahomes every time he needs a restructure.
Two of them are still available in the fantasy football leagues, in both fantasy football leagues, actually, exactly, that we play in.
And teams have become wise to the fact that you don't need one bell cow running back anymore. You just need three, and you just rotate them in. You get the yards. You'll occasionally break one. On you go. And when the contracts run out, you draft three more. You throw them in, and you spend your money elsewhere. You used to need in the NFL a top 10 running back to win a Super Bowl. You now need a shutdown corner, an edge rusher that can get to the quarterback, a brilliant left tackle, and a QB. And if you've not, the running back is nowhere near any of those positions in terms of value. So, no, the answer is no. I feel sorry for players like Bijan Robinson, who come out of college this year and go to Atlanta. In the 1980s, he would have been the next superstar of the league. He'd have been the face of it. Now he's going to be the Falcons running back for maybe 6 or 7 years. And then they're going to say, right, who's next? Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've got to give you props, my friend. Because last week in one of our fantasy leagues, you and I were head-to-head. And very, very often on this podcast, you say to me, look, give me a bit of advice on this. And you build me up as a man who seems to know what he's doing in fantasy football. And you absolutely took me into the corner of the room in full view of my entire family. You inched my corduroy trousers down. You then removed my budgie smugglers. And you smacked my ass so hard in that fantasy game that my cheeks are still vibrating a week on. You absolutely took me to the cleaners, my friend, and there was nothing I could do. Every player in your team had a worldie. You got over 130 points, which is brilliant.
139.84.
Not that you've remembered it. Not that you remember it. Not that you've thought about it at all. And I've got to say to you, it was one of those moments where I got in the shower after and I turned the lights off and I said to Laura, I just can't get clean. I can't get it off me. I can't get him off me here. It did so much damage. So it's left a mark. It's left a scar. And I am reeling to the point where I'm completely lacking confidence heading into week three. And I've got to sit down, have a stern word with myself and get myself back in the room quickly. So congratulations. You absolutely took me to the cleaners.
Yeah, it was the highest score in the league that week. 139.84, I think it was. And Dallas Cowboys defense turned up. Miami's running back turned up. Mostert, quarter, everyone turned up. Everyone came in and said hello and did what they were supposed to. Everyone was over their projections is the best way to describe it. But it's going to be a competitive league. My worst team of the two is 2-0. My best team is 1-1 at the moment, but we'll see what happens. And also, there's a lot of chat about gambling in the NFL. This is the last thing we'll talk about, I promise you. I think what we'll talk about in coming episodes of The Fumble, Darren, is now that the NFL have accepted, it seems, people gambling and betting on NFL games, and you should be gamble aware, you need to know your limits and all that kind of stuff. You have to be sensible. But I've never done it before, but I've dropped a couple of quid here and there with an accumulator. And one thing happened last week, which I want to talk to you about next week's episode, because I'll go and find all the details. I won the game with the team that I bet on, but I lost the bet. Something to do with the under and the over. And it was the only one that I lost, and I was on for a fair few quid because it was a team accumulator.
It's not. What it is so when you go on, you can do it one of two ways. You can either have what they call the money line, which is just head-to-head. So it's me v you. No handicaps or anything like that. Or you can have the point spread. So if you have the point spread, they've got to cover the spread. Now, you will have had an accumulator where you had a point spread. So
that's right.
So if a team would be, say, -5.5. That means they've got to win by 6 points for that bet to come in. If they win, but they don't win by six, you lose. But you get better odds. Once you do a point spread, every team is even money. If you do the money line, you might get some teams of 1-10. If it's Kansas City against Chicago this week, the Chiefs will be 10-1 on. So it's pointless having it in your acca. But the Chiefs this week will be -10, let's say. So they've got to cover the spread. They've got to beat the Bears by 10 points for you to win. But you get even money on that. So the mistake you made was you'd gone for a head-to-head bet, but you'd done it on the point spread thing.
Yep.
So you would lose because of that. What it does do, I think it's great because you do the point spread, it gives you a bit of leeway. Your team can still lose, but if they cover the spread, you still win. So if your team are plus whatever, that means they start at that. So it's great. You know, if you look at a game, if it's ever double figures, I would always go the other way. Because if you think about it, if it's a double figure, if let's say you start off -10. Let's say this week that the Chiefs are 12-point favourites against Chicago. If Chicago score the first touchdown, they've got 19 points to play with. So straight away, you're up against it. And if you look at the trends, it's much rarer that a team covers a double-digit spread as a winner than a loser, because NFL games historically are way closer than we ever think they're going to be. It's not very often you get a massive blowout. You get a lot of games decided by a field goal. So a lot of the point spreads are 1-2. And what you'll see by playing it, people don't do this. It's astonishing how accurate the odds makers are in terms of point spreads, whether it be over, under, or the spread. They are literally within half a point every time. It's very, very rare. You might get one or two an entire weekend. where the spread's not quite right. But every other one will be like half a point either side of that spread. It's absolutely bonkers. I have no idea how they do it, what the algorithms are to give them the point spread. I don't know what they do. But whoever does it is Mystic Med, I'm telling you. Because if you're going to do it now, you watch it. How often those point spreads are bang on the nose. It's mad. Absolutely mad.
Wow. All right. Well, that's some...
Yeah, make sure this week you know what you're doing, whether you're doing a point spread or whether you're doing a money line. And the money line is just simply head-to-head. Me and you. No, it's like golf with no handicap, played off scratch.
Right.
And then the money line is like, I get those shots, you get those shots, and we've got that. I could beat you, but I don't beat you because you've got more shots.
That's a good way to explain it. Darren, as always, it's a pleasure. That's something we're going to dive into in future episodes of The Fumble. Maybe we'll get someone on from one of the many betting companies available to explain in more detail. I mean, you're on it anyway, but we'll try and find someone.
I've got a guest for us. We're going to do a special, a Fumble special, and we're going to do it at some stage this season. He's available anytime. It's a guy called Gary Francis. And I used to work with Gary at BT Sport before it became TNT Sport. And Gary is a producer. But Gary used to produce the Channel 4 programme in the 1980s. And he's going to come on and he's going to tell us all about that golden age of American football, all the things they used to do, everything that used to go on. He's going to come and go through it with us and give us all the behind-the-scenes stuff of what it was like when we used to see Nicky Horn sat on a bench in Chicago that was heated, and when Nick Luckhurst was telling us this, that, and the other. Those halcyon days of the NFL, a lot of our audience won't have experienced it, but just the kind of things that they used to do, that they used to get up to, the things that went right, the things that went wrong. Gary's going to come on and he's going to give us all that insight into what it was like covering the NFL back in the 80s, when it was pretty much the biggest thing going at that time. And he was front and center doing all of that Super Bowl. He produced and directed the first American Bowl game when the Bears came and played the Cowboys in the summer of 86. So he's got this wealth of knowledge that he said, look, if ever you want me on, I'll come and do it with you and Vern. There's some great stories to tell. So I think that'd be fantastic for everybody to dive back and hear what it was all about back then. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be mega. Brilliant. All right. Thank you, Darren. Have a cracking weekend. Have you got more Champions League next week?
No, I've got the, as we record this, I've got the boxing later, Joe Joyce and Zhile Zhang at Wembley, the big rematch, both of them going in over 20 stone. Woo. That's going to be explosive. Anthony Yard on the undercard. 3 week next week, and then Champions League the week after. Newcastle, Paris Saint-Germain, Man United, Galatasaray. Two teams who need a victory to get themselves off and running in the competition. It's mad busy, mate, at the minute. Absolutely bonkers, but we wouldn't have anywhere else. And when we speak next week, by the way, for the next episode, we got to preview the first London game. So that's going to be nice to do.
Yeah, living it.
Honours already.
Yeah, nice. All right, wicked. Darren, as always, it's a pleasure. That was Darren Fletcher. I'm Vernon Kerr. This has been a Shooting Shark production. We bid you farewell. Have a cracking week. And if you like it, do it. If you don't like it, do it. You might like it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.